Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He's the man Talkers Magazine says is one of the most important talk show hosts in America.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
He's Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me today. Thanks for hanging around with me. If you just tuned in, we're glad you did that. If you've been listening already and you're still listening, wow. What's wrong with you? Don't you have a life? Just kidding. No, I'm just kidding. We consider that a sign of high intelligence. See, I'm getting into the holiday spirit here, folks. Work with me a little bit. Oh, man, I'm trying really hard. It's tough. You know, one time, folks, I got the Christmas spirit the day after Christmas. How about that? I really did. It was like a day or two later, after the whole thing was over, I finally got the Christmas spirit. So I'm a little bit wacky about these things, but then you already knew that, didn't you? Trish Rubin knows all about that. She knows how wacky I am. Trish is an outstanding small business expert. She's a speaker and a trainer and a writer on many topics, but her highly developed skill is in relational communication. She's the author of New York Minute 60-Second Tips to Megawatt Business Power, and she's our good friend. Trish Rubin, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim, and good morning.
It's good to have you here. What do you think about a guy who gets the Christmas spirit the day after Christmas?
Oh, well, I think that you have, 365
yeah.
days or 364 days to really ramp it up for the next year.
That's what I was doing. I was just getting way in advance of the next one, see. Mm-hmm. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
You're prepared.
Yeah. Hey, Trish, what's you've been traveling.
Mm-hmm.
You went to Japan and China in November.
I did.
Tell us about that.
The trip was a marketing trip for me. I'm working with a publisher on a Japanese edition of my book. And I also was doing some demo trainings, working with particular entities there in Tokyo, and on the way, I stopped in Shanghai again for more marketing,
yep.
And came out of the trip with two new contracts, and I'm going
back.
Yeah, I'm going back to do a very big engagement for, it's called the Japan American Chamber of Commerce, and I'll be up in front of a couple hundred people in Tokyo in September, yeah.
Good for you.
And it comes out of their small business, their entrepreneurial unit of that organization. So it's the power of people who are working small but thinking big.
Right, absolutely. Well, good for you. Congratulations on that.
Thank
and
you.
I'm not the least bit surprised, folks. You've heard me say before, no chopped liver on the Small Business Advocate Show, only the best for my audience.
Thank you.
And Trish certainly fits that bill. Trish, what did you learn about when you were over there? Now, you're a networking expert.
Yep.
What did you learn about international networking? What did you learn about taking it to the next level, which certainly global networking is? What did you learn that you can help us with?
Well, I think that what I learned is that you have to be fearless, and you have to sort of put
What does that mean?
I think you have to have enough confidence in yourself to know that networking, meeting people, reaching out 8,000 miles away is really no different from reaching out 8 blocks away. That you have to start with
people really are yes. Human beings really are not that much different around the world, are they?
Are not.
Everybody wants to be connected.
Yes.
Everybody wants to feel appreciated. Everybody wants to be valued, understood.
Yes.
Everybody wants you wants other people to act like what you believe in, your values are something to be respected. And everybody wants high touch, don't they?
And yes, and I'm going to say
even the Japanese.
Sonotori, and that means exactly in Japanese. And that's what I'm happy to hear you say. I knew that's true. If we just, in my first book, I talk about this element of you get me, you know, you get me, you understand me. If you can do that with somebody, it doesn't matter what language they speak. I speak very little Japanese, but I am able to use nonverbal communication, the way I listen, and learning just a little bit of language, Choto, Japanese, as they say, to let people know that I am like you or I respect you. And when you do that, then with Phil saying the world is your oyster, it's true.
And you know, Trish, we have a lot of customs here, but we don't have any. We don't have that many customs that people get that upset about if somebody doesn't follow them exactly. Other parts of the world, that's different over there, isn't it? I'm going to get you to talk about that when we come back, folks.
Sure.
And we're doing some world class networking stuff here, folks, with our good friend Trish Rubin. She's the author of New York Minute. Stay with us. 20 till. Here's Grace Slick to take us out.
Hey, Jim. This is Ray Keating, Chief Economist with the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council. Wow, 10 years as a small business advocate. Congratulations. You ask the right questions, provide great insights, and have a true passion for small business. How much do I get paid for saying all of this again?
We're back. It doesn't get any better than that, does it, folks? Ray Keating in Chicago all together. that's like the hat trick, isn't it? And Trish Rubin, too. She makes it the hat trick. Trish is with us, ladies and gentlemen. She's our good friend, the author of New York Minute. And we're talking about networking. And we're really kind of putting network on steroids here, aren't we, when we're talking about this kind of the international networking that you were talking, that you've been, mm-hmm. we've been talking about, Trish. One of the things I was saying when we went to the break is this customs thing.
Yeah.
In the United States, we have customs, but we don't get all bound up in our customs typically.
Right.
But in other countries, customs, the way they treat each other, the way they want to be treated, the customs that sort of envelop all that, that almost becomes everything, doesn't it? It's almost like that's the threshold. Mm-hmm. That's the threshold you have to cross.
Right. It's understanding what the rituals are in any culture that really are foundational with people. And the kind of work that I'm actually doing now, it's very interesting, is with businesswomen, Japanese businesswomen who work for multinational companies and who have this very high sense of what it is to be Japanese in the culture, but yet since they're working with multinational, they have to understand how to almost let that go enough so that they can cross to other cultures and not be so bound by theirs. And so when I say you have to be almost fearless, they have to be. People in that position, when they're coming out of a culture and coming into the Western culture, you're right, we don't have the same kind of trappings. We don't get bound up if somebody doesn't put a card in front of us within the first 2 seconds of meeting.
And present it with both hands, you know, and all that kind of stuff.
And present it with both hands and have
and bow. Response, don't forget to bow.
Right? But what we honor and value is really knowing a person as quickly as we can, making contact. And for people coming out of culture where you almost have to wait to allow that, when they come here, that's why they need a book like mine, New York Minute, because that's how fast we move here.
Mm-hmm.
And our culture is one of, let me quickly know who you are, and then I'll know whether or not I want to follow up with you.
It that's exactly right.
It doesn't matter what your card looks like. I want
right.
to know who you are.
Well, we might not even exchange cards.
Exactly.
You know, in fact, in the United States, when somebody whips out a card too quickly, it's a put-off.
And that's what you're right. And so that's the subtle ideas that as we share and as you move throughout the world, knowing a little bit of culture will go a long way. And I always tell my clients, the people I work with who are traveling, when I do one-on-one coaching, the best thing to do is keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
Listen.
And watch what's going on.
Yes, and just listen and nod and smile. You know, my joke is, and I hope I don't offend anybody out there who's a therapist, but it's just what people get paid for in New York. We have
yeah.
a lot of people sitting here nodding and smiling at people, and they're getting paid for it. And they're doing great jobs because people want that in their lives. And when you go out to meet
I wish I had more nodding and smiling in my life, I'll tell you that. I could use a little more nodding and smiling. I don't get much of that around here. But no, I... And I'm too and I'm too tight to pay for it, Ruben. hey Trish, you know what? Another thing with regard to international networking and everything, if you mess up, if you blunder into a situation and you just mess it up, if you pay attention and you enough to where you realize that you've messed up, you can recover from that, because you do it right the next time, or just even maybe even apologize. But here's where you're dead in the water and maybe never to be redeemed: if you're disrespectful of that.
Yes, it's the root of all what we do, and that's the root of my work, is developing that respect.
Yeah.
Respect leads to trust, and you can blow it, and an email can blow it, anything can blow it, but you have to be ready to just say, I'm learning, you know, it's new, please understand that, and I will certainly value this, you know.
Do the Asians cut us any slack, Trish?
Well, I
do they say, well, those dumb Americans, they don't know any better.
I think I'm lucky in working right now in Tokyo. There's so much familiarity between Japanese business and Western business, American business especially. The challenge is going to be for me as I move into China. And I think because people are not as sure, and because things are changing so quickly, it'll be a real adventure to see if they will cut slack. But I think they will, because more and more Chinese are interested in that door that's being opened, and they want to meet people who are from the West.
I was watching a video coverage of what was going on in Iraq the other day. And they showed one of our officers, a colonel or a general, meeting an Iraqi official. And here's this big, burly, you know, career soldier. You know, probably had more hash marks on his arm than... You know, that he probably didn't have enough sleeves left for all the hash marks he has, all the combat experience he has. And he shakes the hand of this Iraqi official, and then leans forward and kisses him on the cheek. Now, to an American, that's a really bizarre thing to do. In the Middle East, it is obligatory.
Yes. Learning the culture wherever you go. Even, Jim, even if we go from our offices to downtown to a different place. I was telling you I'm working with law firms now, and the cultures are different.
Hold on to that thought. We're going to talk about, that's what I want you to, when we talk about, come back, I want you to talk about industry cultures, and right here in the United States, and well, anywhere really, every industry has its own set of culture and values and ethics too, by the way. Tin Till. Right back with Trish Rubin. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com, which is where you can find the show and the archives and the articles and the books and the Brain Trust members and the newsletter and the blog and all the other stuff that we do here. Lots of stuff there to help you. And then also, don't forget to check out our knowledge base, askjim.biz.biz. And that's where you can get small business answers. Now, Trish Rubin is our guest, and she's our longtime member of our Brain Trust, the author of New York Minute. Trish, have you got a new book coming out?
I do. I'm actually finishing up the draft and headed, hopefully, I think by summer I'm hoping that I'll have it published. And it's called The New York Minute, of course, it's because that's my series. And this one is from follow-up to close.
All right. The one that I have in front of me is about event networking.
Yes.
And the new one's going to be from follow-up to close.
Follow-up,
what does that mean?
Follow-up to close. Well, when I wrote this book and went out on book tours, people were loving the book and said, okay, now when I get somebody to pay attention to me, first impression, what do I do next? How do I make that prospect my client? And I heard that so much, Jim, I thought, that's where I'm going. And that's what I began to research and live. And so this book is about 60-second tips. Again, how do you get a prospect to become your client? Very systemic way of doing it. And I say you ace it. And what I mean by ace is you associate. So you have
you mean,
to be
you mean
in- that everybody gets so concerned with the close from the time they're shaking hands for the first time with somebody, they want to close a deal. I think that you have to think about mini closings as you go along.
Oh, yeah, you got to be closing all the time.
You just got to close. And people forget that. So I'm going to use that voice of the New York Minute. How do you quickly do things and say to yourself, I'm doing great with this client, even if it's just the fact that you picked up the phone and talked to them.
Well, the thing is that people get what they get worked up about is they think closing has to be this big production and this big, you know, this big crescendo, and then they sign the contract. If the best closes are almost unnoticeable.
Very true.
Little tiny ones, exactly. All right, Trish, we promised the audience we'd talk about a little bit about how networking is different mm-hmm. within an industry.
Yes, yeah.
Give her some examples.
Well, as you move around, we had a conversation in the break about how different it is to work with different clients. I'm working with the legal market now. And some of my clients, they're big firms, they're 15 partners, and then in other places, very small, and maybe one or two attorneys. And so when you go into a corporation, when you go into a big firm, well, it's laden with landmines. First of all, you got to learn the culture of that big place. So you have to do a lot of homework on what that organization is about, what is their reputation like, how do they brand themselves, if at all, and learn about who is in that room quickly. We learn people's names immediately. I've found that even when you walk into a room with 20 partners, you better know everybody's name before you hit that room, mm-hmm. because that shows that you have intention and that you're smart and that you know that you honor that culture. Now, when you work with one or two lawyers, it's easier to do, but you still have to learn the culture because those two people could have a real sort of ritual of how they want to act and behave, and you've got to know it.
Is there a danger, and I don't mean just with attorney firms, but with anybody, is there a danger in knowing too much? Here's what I mean by that. If you know too much, the more you, before you go in, the more you know, if you don't manage it well, you're going to make certain presumptions
mm-hmm.
that could wind up foreclosing you from getting certain contacts. What do you think?
Right. I think you have to know as much as you can. You learn as much as you can from digging and researching about those clients before on the web or in papers and talking to people about them and finding people who know these people. And, yeah, I don't think there's a danger in knowing too much. And when you actually begin to work with people, they open up and they tell you a lot about the culture mm-hmm. if you get one-on-one with them. And that's really the important thing.
The danger is not in knowing too much. It's when you attach presumptions to that knowledge.
It's true, right? Don't assume too much.
I mean, you know, you learn who the boss is.
Yes.
And you presume to cater to that boss, and then you find out that there's somebody else who really pulls the strings.
Right. So you have to really be observant. You have
pay attention.
To do, and that's almost Japanese. Like I'll go back to what I've learned in Japan that they have something called ishi ninshin, where they really observe in a very subtle way, and they worked it to a science.
Trish, give us your website one more time, please.
It's trnewyorkminute.com.
trnewyorkminute.com. That's where they can find you about your book, too, can't they?
That's my book site, absolutely.
Hey, Trish, happy holidays. Thanks for being
here.
Thank
you, Jim.
See you next time.
Happy New Year.
Yeah. Quick, got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.